Hey, praise the Lord. Thank you, Louise. God is good, yeah? I'm sure every person that speaks or leads something will understand exactly what I'm going to say right now. That when you're sitting down there through worship, a million things come through your mind and go, I'll say this and I'll say that and I'll do this and whatever. And then you get up here and you forget them all. And then when you get back down, you go, I was supposed to say that and... But what I do want to say and start off with is just welcome everybody again to Liberty Church and to the Fire Conference. The Fire Conference is something that we're building up in the city and even in the nation. And I believe wholeheartedly that if we don't see the fivefold ministry in action in the Church of Jesus, that we're stunted and we're dwarfs and we lack power. And this has been a passion of mine for 3 years that the Lord spoke to my heart. And many have heard me talk about the dark time I was in. And I was in that dark time, or coming out of that dark time, that God spoke to me about an apostolic environment. And if you want to know what that looks like, because I didn't know, if you want to know what that looks like, read Acts again and you see what the church really is supposed to be. It's not something of history. It's what God wants for his church. And there's a burning desire in my heart that I'll either go to heaven tormented or I'll see kingdom come on earth. And I believe the latter. And so it's no good talking about this. I have attempted to finish my master's degree and my thesis is on this subject. That if the church wants to be fully missional, the fivefold ministry has to be fully functioning. The fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, they're like the arteries of the body that Jesus gave them as gifts to the body. They're arteries, meaning if you cut an artery, you're going to bleed out. You're going to be anemic. You're going to die. And over the centuries I'm talking about, history is against this stuff. Church history. For centuries, we've had the pastor and the teacher. And they've held the fort and they've held the ground really, really well. Pastor and teacher are protectors and nurturers. And if we were a football team, we'd have two great defenders, magnificent defenders. But we'd have no strikers. Because it's apostle and prophet and evangelist that strike at the heart of the kingdom of darkness. They see into the spiritual realm. They know what it is and they live for heaven on earth. And I've talked about this. I've lectured on this in college. I've spoke about it at Dream Conference. If you sit and press that button, I will yap the ears off you about it for about... Many thousand words is in that thesis again. 20,000. But what's more important is that the fivefold ministry is all about impartation. That what they carry, you and I can carry. And I want to show us that. You're going to experience that over this weekend because the people that I've invited carry this stuff. They carry it. They've lived it. They're living it. They have the fruits of it. So I've asked all of our guest speakers to make sure that they lay hands on us and that everything that they have and they've seen, they throw it onto us and we receive it and we carry it back to where we belong. So I would encourage you, this is a passion, it's a vision, it's someone has to do it. And someone has to step out and someone has to take what comes with it. Because it ain't easy at times. Because we're talking language, and we all think we're talking the same language, but we're not. We believe it in theology, but we're scared to death to practice it. And someone has to, and that's the environment you've come into this weekend. So all things are possible, and that's just magic. And I'm privileged. And this is what I would ask you. Journey with us on this. Journey with us and see what God will do in the next couple of years. I'm making connections with people that I don't know yet and people that I've been told of and people that have contacted me out of the blue. Apostles and prophets lay the foundation. So I've been sorting them out, trying to find men and women that operate in these gifts, in these offices. And I'm meeting them, I'm engaging with them, I'm Skyping them. And over the next years, I'm going to have them all in. And my goal is that we build with apostles and prophets. And then one weekend, we have the whole fivefold ministry giftings just pouring out into our lives. And we see what the churches will look like then, right? Amen. And that's the intro to this weekend. And that's the environment you come into. And believe and expect. Believe and expect. I just want to just recognize some people. I see loads from Liberty and you're very welcome. But it's great to see Paddy and Donna. In fact, I know this is a bit corny, Paddy, but will you just come up for a minute? This is Paddy and Donna from Donegal. Debbie. Daryl and Debbie. Nikki, sorry, this is Daryl and Nikki from Armagh. Guys, will you come up for a minute? Pastor Stephen, Marianne, come on up. Pastor Dan, is that okay to say Pastor Dan? Am I missing anybody? Is there anyone that is pastoring the church? Like that, not a Liberty. We're all very welcome, but I just really want to say this in the bottom of my heart that I'm humbled that you're here. I'm genuinely humbled that you would see fit to even come to this city, to this place called Liberty, to hear what we have to say and to see what God wants to do. Stefan and Mariana, Pastor Calvary, Romanian Church, and the church in general. Dan is doing a work over in Ballymun for the last number of years and breaking ground in an incredible way. Pat and Donna have just started church planting in Donegal. And what's the name of that place? Falcara. Isn't that beautiful? It sounds like something out of Lord of the Rings. And Nikki and Daryl in Armagh, they're a bit out from Armagh, and because I've got lost many times going up. But they're church planting now in the city of Armagh, and they're going into the city. And guys, can we just applaud these men and women? And however far or however way that we can in any way encourage, we want to be here. And we want to be that source of encouragement, not in any weird way, but just to say that like we're here. And I want to pray for you guys. And I had a picture earlier on, and it was particularly for Nikki and Daryl and for Paddy and Donna. And I've just seen trees being felled. And, what's that mean? And my mind and my heart just went to Haggai when God says, my house is going to be built and I'm going to provide. And I just feel God would say that to you guys, that he's felling the trees and that his provision to build his house, his way. So we just want to pray for that and release that and operate and in the grace of that word, because it's jam-packed with the realities of God. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, for these couples, Lord, that are stepping out and have stepped out, Lord, of the securities that they've known. To step out to the waters where, Lord, you keep them, where you're responsible for their keeping. And I thank you for them, Lord. And I thank you that the passion on the heart is to see heaven on earth. I thank you for the desire is not to play church, but to be the church. I thank you, Lord God, that the cry in their hearts, Lord God, that, Lord God, we've only found out over the last weeks and months, Lord, the connect of what God is putting in their hearts to see on earth, Lord God. And I pray, Father, for these two couples as a church plant, that God will provide, is providing. He is felling the trees to build his house. And that, God, I just thank you, Lord God, for encouraging them, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, even again this weekend is out, Lord God, that news will come from the forests that the trees have felled and that we've sold them and the provision is on way for all that they need. Lord, I thank you for them, Lord God. I thank you that you will open doors that no one can close and you will close doors that no one can open. I thank you, Lord God, that they will see, Lord,
the kingdom of God manifest on earth, Lord, in Armagh and in Donegal, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Let's give up. Thanks, guys. Thank you, bro. Amen. Amen. Thanks. It's great to see you here, Daryl. Bless you, brother. Well, here, the sessions have been... We're just off a month of prayer and fasting in our church. And we had a great month of going around our different locations and praying and planting capstones and finglas and just declaring the word of God. And I think it was Thomas, Pastor Thomas, that threw a big capstone in Finglas, sorry, and just crashed her off a rock, and he said, "Let there be light." And it was just powerful. And out in Bray, we had a great night of praying for Bray, and great nights in here, and great nights in Clondalkin. And just to let you know that we've been doing everything to pray up for this weekend. And the intercession team, our crack commando squad, told me that on Thursday they had a real genuine feel of excitement and expectation for this weekend. And then I received a prophetic word from the north by email, and they said they were praying for us, and that God just is going to open doors of what we're seeking him for. So I said earlier on about, you know, let's journey together and see what God will do in this whole area. So I'm starting off by speaking about advancing the kingdom through the weapons of our warfare. I said that we've extended the sessions of worship and of preaching. It's not a normal Sunday morning. We want to get in. So get your pens out, you know, get your iPads out and turn to your iPhone and all that stuff. And have a bit of, what's the word I'm looking for? Longevity in your mind. Take it. Don't let your mind wander, because sometimes we get used to having a 20-minute word and it's like, what are you going to do with that? Just give a story and illustration, then we're home. But like, I've asked the preachers to get into the word, to break the word open for us so that we're being fed, you know what I mean? So if your mind starts to wander 10, 15 minutes in, that's because we've conditioned you for that in the church. But it's time to break through and go, no, I want 40 minutes, I want 45 minutes, I'm hungry. Amen. I'm hungry. I have a few scriptures for us and some things to say about this. And then at the end of this, we're going to ask everyone to come up, and we're going to just lay hands on, and we're just going to activate gifts, the Holy Spirit's gifts. And my job tonight is to prime us for the rest of the weekend. Amen. I'm like the support act. No, I'm only messing. No, but like my job and what I feel in God is just to get us ready, just to open us up, just to get us prepared for what is going to be delivered by the people this weekend. Advancing the kingdom, you know, through the weapons of our warfare, you know yourself, we could land on this in many places in the scriptures, you know, because weapons of our warfare, we could talk about the word of God being the weapon of our warfare, the blood of Jesus and the all true, the right and worship is, and intercession and prayer and praise is in them. And Gary may well speak on some of them things tomorrow, but I want to concentrate on speaking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit as a way of advancing the kingdom in signs and wonders, but also in weapons of our warfare. They're given there for us. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians, because we have to have a reality of that we are actually in a war. We're in a battle. And every time we lose sight of that, I'm not saying we live in fear. This is not about fear things. This is about advancing the kingdom. But the reality is, we are in a battle. And listen to the way Paul describes it in Ephesians 6. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." Wow. How would you be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power? He says, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." It's a spiritual battle.
Therefore, he says, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand. He talks about principalities. And in reading and in my understanding, and the concept of principalities is greatly understood by the Greek word. It's arch. It's a ruling chief. It's like a prince. It's like an area that demonic spirits have dominion over. Counties, even countries. You see the enormity of our battle when you read what the scriptures have to say. We see with Daniel, with Daniel the prophet, that like he was praying to God, and the angels were released. And in fact, when Gabriel came with the message, and it, just a little bit down from what we understand is that when he says like the answer was released days ago, but the prince of Persia, princes over a principality, came to intersect the word, and the angel says to him, I have to call on Michael, the warring angel, to come. And he says, I have to call on Michael, your angel. Wow. Your angel came and made sure the word got to you. But the idea of the prince of Persia, and he says, I'm going on to fight another prince, was a demonic ruler over an area. And then he talks about powers and rulers of darkness. Powers that have been given over by acts of darkness. Acts of terrorism and drug cartels and gross poverty seen in areas where rulers of darkness and rulers of this world hang out. We're in a war. And God has given us every tool not to just sit back. It's not about, we're in a war, I'm scared to death. We're in a war. Get out and fight when you need to fight. Get out and battle when you need to battle. Don't just accept everything that gets thrown at you as natural. That our eyes would be open this weekend to know what's what. And not only know what's what, but what to do about what's what. And the Bible says that our battle is not against flesh and blood. So it's not against that husband of yours. Or your wife. It's not just against the people in government. It's not just against these things. There's something behind them. And yet it gets played out with flesh and blood. Don't get me wrong. It's a spiritual battle, but it gets played out in the flesh and blood arena. That's why we have the fruits of the Spirit. Because they're weapons against the flesh and blood stuff. We see Peter, he didn't really know that the battle was not against flesh and blood. When they came to take Jesus, he cut your man's ear off. Jesus, like Peter, and Jesus operates in the fruit of the Spirit and picks his ear up and gives it back. He operates in the opposite spirit. So that flesh and blood can understand the mercy of God and the goodness of God. But he's like, Peter, you don't get it yet. You're trying to fight a spiritual battle with carnal weapons. Listen to what Pedro Ocaro, my mate, says about this. He said, spiritual warfare is very real. There's a furious, fierce, and ferocious battle raging in the realm of the spirit between the forces of God and the forces of evil. Warfare happens every day, all the time. Whether you believe it or not, you're in a battle. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It doesn't change the scenario. C.S. Lewis says, there is no neutral ground in the universe. Every square inch, every split second is claimed by God or counterclaimed by Satan. There's not a square inch that he won't fight for. Watch my knee. Listen to what he says. He says, Satan has in fact a plan against the saints of the Most High, which is to wear them out. He says, what is meant by this phrase, wear out? It has in it the idea of reducing little by little, minute by minute. Reduce a little today and reduce a little tomorrow. The wearing out is almost imperceptible. Nevertheless, it is a reducing. The wearing down is scarcely an activity which one is conscious of. Yet the end result is that there is nothing left. He will take away your prayer life little by little. And cause you to trust God less and less. And yourself more and more. A little at a time. He will make you feel somewhat cleverer than before. Step by step, you are misled to rely on your own gifts. And step by step, your heart is enticed to wait in God. Now where Satan to strike, he says, the children of God with great force at one time, they would know exactly how to resist the enemy, since they would immediately recognize his work. He says he uses the method of gradualism to wear down the people of God. What insight. The enemy has done a great job at wearing the church down regarding the weapons of our warfare. And in particular, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He's worn the church down in the air in this area, little by little. Bad theology, wrong theology. Little by little, bad practice, wrong practice. Little by little, abuse of the gifts, misuse of the gifts, extreme use of the gifts. He's wore the church down little by little, unbelief, fear, little by little, to the point where they're not being seen or being used as a weapon against the kingdom of darkness and for furthering the kingdom of God. And I found myself this week repenting before God. Because I said, God, when was the last time I asked for tongues and interpretation? When was the last time I asked for the gift of faith? When was the last time I asked for the gift of the Holy Spirit, that is wisdom? This is not about being scared of the evil one. It's about the advancement of the kingdom. It's about taking ground. It's about growth. It's about contending for the souls of man. This is about expansion. It's about operating at a level in the Holy Spirit that has been neglected and underused and underdeveloped in our lives and in our churches. Leonard Ravenhill says, many of us are hunting mice while the lions devour the land. He has us running around after mice. Because we think that's all we're able to hunt, but the lions are devouring the land and devouring our young people and our marriages. But when we know the weapons we have, we go hunting. Which sometimes is like the church has been going against hell with a pea shooter. God wants to change. The game is up. We go against principalities and powers and wicked things in high places with pea shooters. They're not moved by our fancy clothes or our bright lights or our sound system. They're not moved by the crafting of phrases or our sermons. They are moved by the church that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. The game is up. The Lord wants to move in our lives, release the gifts in our lives, establish these weapons of our warfare, call us to take lands, we're called to take cities, we're called to take back families, we're called to take back communities, we're called to bring the kingdom of God to this world. That's our calling. And how do we advance this? How do we take this ground? I want to present through the gifts of the Holy Spirit tonight. When we're dealing with flesh and blood, the fruits of the Spirit. But tonight, if I had 4 hours, this wasn't a matter of putting something together. This was a matter of getting things out of my iPad. So please forgive me if I go a bit all over the place. So let's look at the gifts of the Spirit. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 to 11. It should come up on the screen behind us. Hey. Now about this gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters. I do not want you to be uninformed or ignorant. You know that when you were pagans somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but all of them, and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, how many? To each one. The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the same one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. And to another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in diverse or different kinds of tongues. And to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I read that, I'm like, I'm falling way below the arsenal of God that should be in my life. The gifts of the Spirit. God wants you and I to move in the supernatural. He says, now about these gifts, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be ignorant. Believers must not remain ignorant to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, their proper use and their purpose. Ignorance means in the Greek, to lack experience or practical understanding, or to ignore them through the lack of desire or interest. That's why Paul speaks in Corinthians and throughout his letters, desire these things. But ignorance means to lack experience, practical understanding, or to ignore them. Or have no desire for the gifts. God wants us to be informed about them and how to operate effectively in the gifts of the Spirit. See, if we're in a spiritual battle, we need spiritual gifts. So we're not going to remain ignorant. Say amen. The gifts of the Spirit are supernatural. Paul says in the verse, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one of us for the profit of all. See, you and I are spiritual beings living in a body, uniquely designed to express the presence and life of God on earth. You and I have been designed, we're spiritual beings living in these temples. But Noel is not what you see. Noel is really in here. You see what carries Noel around. And you and I have been uniquely designed to express the presence and life of God on earth. God clearly desires every believer to manifest the power and the life of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what the word manifestation means in the Greek. It means to clearly see the visible, supernatural activity of the Holy Spirit. It's like it's not hidden away in a corner. It's to visibly see the supernatural activity of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's like, oh no, I'm an underground Christian. Listen, if the Holy Spirit is in our lives and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit gifts is in our life, we'll be seen and heard. It can't be hidden unless we decide that. To each one means that these gifts have been given to each one means every believer without exception has the privilege to express the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Every one of us, it's not for special ones. We're all special ones. We're all Jose Mourinho's. Listen to what the word gifts mean in that verse. It means a grace given to somebody without having to work on it for it. Or based on any merit of your own. It's a gift that's freely given. It's a gift. And obviously the profit part means to build up other people. And to advance the kingdom. So we're going to look at these gifts very quickly. And they can be put in categories. Three different categories. One of the categories is gift of revelation. Meaning information previously hidden is now made known. The three gifts that can be put in that bracket is words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. The revelation gifts.
They're revealing something that you or I could never have known naturally. The gifts of utterance, meaning something is spoken, is the gifts of prophecy, diverse tongues, interpretation of tongues. There's things that are spoken out, prophecy, diverse tongues, and in the interpretation of tongues. And then the gifts of power is put in a category of three. It means this, the gifts of power is something supernatural is done or imparted. And they're the gifts of faith, the gifts of healing, and the working of miracles. The words of knowledge is the revelatory gifts where God speaks something to you that you'd never known previously about something or about a situation that brings breakthrough. I was in Hillsong. No, I was in Abundant Life in England, and a guy came up to me and he says, "I have a word for you." Now, he was a Scotsman. And who's going to listen to him? And I'm like my face said something like, "Yeah, and who are you?" I didn't open my mouth, but he could read me. And he says, "The Lord told me to tell you this." And he said something that only me and Jesus knew. I says, "I'm listening." I took out my notepad. And I wrote. Why? Because he had a word of knowledge, something that he could have never known, that opened me up. Jesus says to the woman at the well, remember he says, you know, are you married? You know, he speaks about our husbands, the death of her husband and the wounds that she had. And she runs back into the village. And you know what she says? She says, "Come and meet a man that told me everything about my life." Well, he didn't tell her everything about her life. He told her one thing about her life. But the word of knowledge has such power to energize. How could he have known that unless he's God? Now, we can't be ignorant about the word of knowledge, because that can break open our families, break open our next door neighbor. One word that no one could have known, only God. And you go, you know what? I just want to say this as a way of introduction. That's what the Scotsman did to me. And I'm listening, man. We can't be ignorant about the word of wisdom. In fact, the word of wisdom is the force on it, because all the other gifts nearly hinge on wisdom. When to use it, how to use it. What's the application of the gifts? Because some people get gifts and they don't ask for the gift of wisdom, and they run around and they make fools of themselves because they're not waiting on the Spirit. They're not waiting on the application. We hear something from God. It's not enough just to have a revelation. We have to have an interpretation, and we have to ask the Holy Spirit for the application of it. Because, you know, we've all seen it, haven't we? Where your young Christians run out, "This is what God is saying," and it's not received. Because what you thought might have been the interpretation is not the Holy Spirit's interpretation. And more, there's an application to what he has to say. And wisdom is known. You see it in Jesus. My goodness, did he operate in the gift of wisdom. You see it in Solomon. You see it in Peter. You see it in the elders in Acts when they were deciding something. They needed the gift of wisdom to be operating in them. Discerning of the spirits is another revelatory gift that we can't be ignorant about. This is where we can see behind the flesh and blood. That we know what spirit is operating. We know if someone's operating out of their own spirit. And we know whether it's operating out of the Holy Spirit. We know whether they're operating out of an evil spirit. We can't be ignorant. We can't go into the war zone without knowing and having, you know, like the army, do have those night vision goggles. That's what these are like. The enemies are in darkness. You put on the gift of discerning of the spirits is operating in our lives, and we see beyond the darkness and go, that's what it is. It's not that neighbor is just something against me. It's the enemy is something against me, and it's playing out in this realm. Marriages can be saved, healed, if we're not ignorant about this stuff. Families can stop being broken up if we realize some of this stuff and not be ignorant. And not taking away people's responsibilities. It's not taking about people's bad decisions or wrong actions.
But I want to tell us something, that it's not all what we see in the flesh. It's not. There is a war. And the chief of this war that is against us has come to steal, kill, destroy. And every time we see that operation, we can understand that it's not flesh and blood. Because the traits of it is, personally, I don't have to do things or go down roads if I understand the gift of discerning of spirits. It's not just you with evil desires at times. It's you being tempted. And having the discernment of spirits will enable us not to be ignorant. What about prophecy? Speaking something from heaven on earth. Hearing from God and speaking it. The gift of prophecy, when it's in operation, can change the whole atmosphere of a meeting, of a home, of a community, of a nation, of a city. One word spoken from heaven, manifested through someone that's going to operate in that gift. Diverse tongues, as tongues of angels, tongues of man, languages. The gift of tongues. Diverse tongues is where people speak in foreign nations that don't know the language and speak in their language. We can't be ignorant to the speaking in tongues and the interpretation of those tongues. Them tongues, that diverse tongues and interpretation of tongues, speaking in tongues with an interpretation, is not your prayer language that you use on your own. But it's an utterance of the Holy Spirit that is given publicly and interpreted publicly. And just in case we get freaked that our new friend is with us for the first time from work, the Bible actually says that speaking in tongues, this tongue, and interpretation is actually for that person. So, you hear me? We get freaked out. I can't bring Johnny because what if that mad one down the back jumps up and... And then they give the interpretation, and that person's in. It's for them. That's what the Bible says. It's for them. It's for the unsaved. Now we can see how we can come against the kingdom of darkness, how we can advance the kingdom in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of power, something supernatural is done or imparted. Supernatural faith. I've repented before God for not even asking Him. I desired in the others. For I've moved in the gift of faith on many occasions. And I tell you, it's exciting. It's scary, like, you know, what's that thing called in Disneyland? That mountain thing. You know the mountain ride? What is it? No, the other one with the crocodile one, you go through the Thunder Mountain. It's like that. There's times when you think you're just going to die and perish, and yet you're exhilarated with what you feel on the inside. And everyone thinks you're mad going up on that, but you're like, no, this is the right of my life. And if it doesn't come to pass what I've been saying, it's been still a heck of a ride. Honestly, this is the one that just gets you laughing. Going to buy €1 million building with no money. To give the faith. I'd leave my home and I tried to buy 12 buildings and I haven't got a penny to my name. I'd knock on doors. I remember a certain establishment in their community which was being fronted. It was being used as a front for money laundering by a drug dealer. And I know them. And I walks in and they know me and they know I'm Noel from the flats. Jenny from the block type of thing. And I goes in, I says to the guy, the bouncer, I says, can I see whoever is over this because I want to buy your building? I remember he looked at me with disdain and absolute wanted me to feel this size. He says, where would you get the money? Oh, well, that was a dip. But I came up the other side. It was that roller coaster. Where would you go? I was going to submit, but the roller coaster came up the other side. And I says, I have the money. You get me? Me? I kid you not. It was, I'm like, he didn't know what to do with me. And he arranged me to meet the guy and he wouldn't sell the building in the end. If you ever pray for people when the gift of faith is operating, oh, it's powerful. It's like you're not asking God, you're commanding sickness. It's the way we should pray about sickness anyway. But when the gift of faith is in operation, I remember my great brother Matthew, we had a meeting. It's the first time I fasted for 3 days, we had a healing meeting. On the third day, I seen a burger on a billboard and I could smell it. I was tormented the third day. No advertisements. I remember we had lines of people come for healing. And I remember praying for a person, saying, "Dear Jesus, will you heal her?" And in a moment, that roller coaster took off. And the next person was like, "What do you want prayer for? Don't tell me. Be healed in Jesus' name." A woman fell on the ground, spitted out an ulcer. We went through with people. Like, I'd never seen anyone fall down under the spirit of that. And it was like, boom, 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 boom. It was like, man with arthritis in his back. Alan Sweetman's, I'll never get his stepdad. Like, he came in with arthritis, fell on the ground, got up with no arthritis. And my brother Matthew went HIV AIDS and he walked in the back. And I was like, get him. I remember we're walking. You couldn't believe the battle I had with HIV AIDS. I prayed for 100 people, they all died. Yeah, just don't come to me if you have certain disease. Don't call me if you're going to doctor. No. I'm only joking. That you take hits. But I walked down and put my hand on my brother Matthew was like flown with force against the back wall of St. Andrew's Hall. He was like staggered, drunk in the spirit. I don't know what was going on for him. I was convinced he was healed of AIDS. He wasn't. But he went to heaven. Open them up to the supernatural. Open them up to the Spirit of God. How could he explain that? It was like he was in a wrestling match. Someone slung him. Like he didn't get hurt or anything. He was as frail as a 90-year-old man. We broke him out of hospital to go and hear Nicky Cruz. Broke him out. We had a man that was a, what you call them guys, a porter. And he had a little Fiat Uno waiting for him. We got him back without anyone knowing. Sorry, salvation. And Nicky Cruz spoke. I couldn't understand a word he said. He's bad English. Sorry, Nicky, if you're listening to my podcast again. Nicky gives the altar call to salvation. And this frail little heroin addict, HIV, staggers up with his walking stick and surrenders his heart to Jesus. That's why we can't be ignorant of the gifts. He didn't get healed, but he got healed. The gifts of healing of every kind, emotional, mentally, physically, mentally. We can't be ignorant. Miracles, working of miracles. We can't be ignorant. The gifts of the Spirit work together. They're in connection with one another. It's like, I don't know when it's further down my notes, but I think it's a load of baloney if someone says, I used to believe this, that you can operate in just one. No, we can operate in them all. How many fruits of the Spirit do you get? How many gifts do you get? I'll show you in a minute. We get them all. The gifts of the Spirit operate together to produce tangible manifestations of the Holy Spirit on earth. And the pattern works this way, as I can see. It's a revelation. It's a word spoken. It's act of faith. And then there's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit of heaven on earth. You with me? Does in Acts chapter 9, do you remember Ananias, Paul gets saved, Paul meets Jesus, and he's in Straight Street in a house, blind, and the Lord speaks, gives revelation to a man called Ananias, and he says, Ananias, I want you to go to Straight Street, I want you to meet Paul. Who? Paul was more than all them. And he goes down to Straight Street, and he lays hands on Paul. Paul receives the miracle of healing because he was blind, and heaven was manifested on earth. So what happened was Ananias received revelation, a revelatory gift, a word of knowledge, that this man called Saul waiting for you. And you know what? It doesn't matter whether it's Saul or whether it's Mary on the typewriter next to you in the job. At some stage, we have to step out in the gifts of the Spirit. And his one was like, what if this Paul kills me? I was fearful. But he acts on the revelation and goes and speaks to Paul. God spoke to me. It's a revelation. It's a spoken word, because as far as I can see in scriptures, nothing happens unless it's declared. And then he actively lays hands on him, act of faith, and a manifestation of the Holy Spirit happened, healing. Revelation, spoken word, act of faith, manifestation, heaven on earth, advancement of the kingdom of God. Did you ever hear Paul's one in Acts chapter 14? Paul perceives, he has revelation that the man that was lame had the faith to be healed. And one translation says, Paul roars at him, be healed. Sorry for frightening you, love. But I love that bit where he's like, he gets revelation. Then he speaks the word out. But it says in one translation, he roared at a man. Now, I don't know whether he was right beside him or across the street. I'd like to think he was across the street for some reason. And he perceives his revelation, his faith to be healed. And he just told a spoken word, be healed. Spoken word, pointing at him, act of faith, you be healed. Manifestation of heaven on earth. Believer can operate in all the gifts. The gift, the Great Commission can't be even fulfilled without all the gifts in operation. The Great Commission. Listen to what Jesus says in Mark's Gospel. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and they will drink deadly poison. It will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick and they will get well. Now listen to this broken down into the gifts of the Spirit to carry out the mission of Jesus. Cast out demons. What gifts are needed? Discerning of the spirits. Working of miracles. The gift of faith. Speaking in new tongues. Well, tongues and maybe the interpretation of tongues. Take up serpents. Wrestle with spiritual powers. What's needed? Revelatory gifts, wisdom, words of knowledge, discerning of spirits and prophecy. Drink any deadly thing. Must have tasted my sister's soup. Drink any deadly thing, by accident that is. It will not harm you. Gifts of miracles. Lay on hands on the sick and see them well. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, gifts of faith, and gifts of healing and operation. The point is this, to fulfill the Great Commission which Jesus gave us, we need all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Whatever we need for any given situation is ours to operate in, not just one, because I think this caps us off. I think we've been led down a bit of blind alley in this, where we've done courses. I've done courses to find out my spiritual gift, but then I go, well, I operate in this and nothing else. And all I was doing was shutting off the supply of my weapons. And I go up to the enemy or go up against something and I don't understand why I'm not getting a breakthrough. Well, because I didn't need the gift of healing for that. I needed the gift of faith. I needed to go into that arsenal of weaponry that God has given me for this situation and to deal with it according to the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit. And even Ananias, when he went to Paul, just there alone, he operates in five gifts. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophetic utterance, he speaks to Paul, gift of faith, and the gift of healing. Just there, one believer. So I'm like, let's blow that out of water. You have what you need in the Holy Spirit for every given situation. I don't find any of the other stuff in the whole. I find it in books. Your primary, your secondary, your this, and it goes down. And before you know it, you haven't got what you need anymore. In fact, we're not even asking for it anymore. Amen. So, in finishing, it's about impartation. It's about gifts that God has given, Jesus has given to his church, then releasing impartation into the body. Jesus had a go at this very successfully, you'd imagine. But do you remember he sends the 12 out? And he goes, do three things. Preach the kingdom. Heal the sick. Cast out the devil. And you know what? Sometimes we've been very successful in healing the sick and preaching the kingdom. But we've not been casting out the devil. Why didn't Jesus put something else in there? Why didn't he say, you know what? Heal the sick. Preach the kingdom. And have the best worship team in the world. Why wouldn't he say that? Wouldn't he say all the things that we think we're going to get certain things out? See, who said a meatloaf, 2 out of 3 ain't bad? In this case, 2 out of 3 is very bad. Because if we don't deal with what Jesus told us to deal with, he'll catch up on us and hoodwink us. And as Watchman Nee says, little by little, he'll start robbing us of faith and believe in God to the very point that even in theology, if we believe for healing, we haven't practiced it praying for people that are sick. Even if we believe in this stuff by theology, personally, no, where is the practical working of that in my life? It's not a condemnation trip. I'm excited about this because the Bible says he wants to give it to me. And Jesus sends them out. They weren't filled with the Holy Spirit like we are yet because he didn't go to the cross. He sends them out and they come back and they do 2 out of 3. It says that they healed the sick and they preached the kingdom. They come back. Then Jesus sends out the 70 or the 72, however many it was. And they go back and they come back rejoicing that even the devil submitted them in Jesus' name. Do you remember that bit? And Jesus starts rejoicing as well because he goes, I seen Satan fall like lightning when yous were out there. And I used to think that was about when Satan got kicked out of heaven, but it's not. He says when they went out under the impartation of Jesus' anointing, they done what Jesus was doing. Great to see you. They were doing what Jesus was doing. And they were healing the sick like Jesus. They were preaching the kingdom like Jesus, and they were dealing with the devil. And how we know that the disciples didn't deal with the devil at the beginning when they went out was because when they came down from the mountain, if you remember, a man came and says, Jesus, would you cast out the demon out of my son or out of my child? Because I asked your disciples and they couldn't or they wouldn't. Whatever the case was, they didn't do it. Jesus looks at them. Did I not send you out? But the others came back. And they were rejoicing because they seen the kingdom of God in operation. And you know what it says? Jesus rejoiced. And I know I told you this before, but you know what the word rejoice means? It means, the word means to actually jump up and do a spin. Yes. It's not passive. Isn't that great? Can you imagine them coming back and they're doing these, I've just put a word on them, spinaroonies. That they were all coming around back. Did you see that? High-fiving and everything. But Jesus, it says, rejoices. With the exact same word is used. that Jesus was somewhere on his own, just rejoicing, just jumping up and down and saying, yes, they got it, they got it, they got it, Father. They understand what it is to move in the gift of the Holy Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit, under the anointing of God. They got it. The Bible, it's used, that word is also used, that when one sinner repents, the angels rejoice. So when you see that and you go, what's rejoicing? You know, is the songs of praise rejoicing? Hallelujah. Or is the angels just jumping around? Yes. Yes. Another son of Adam is home. Another daughter of Adam and Eve is home. Where did they learn how to rejoice? I asked Sharon one morning when I just thought of it. I said, Sharon, where do you think the angels got that rejoicing? Spinneroonies. And they were thought it was a trick question, so they wouldn't answer me. And I says a few moments later, I was thinking, I said, maybe they seen the Father doing it. Maybe. That when they seen the Father rejoicing, they all just done the same. Isn't that what the prodigal son's father done? Rejoiced. And what's great about it is Jesus done the spinneroonie. And Jesus, now I know it's the Father because Jesus says, I only do what I see my Father doing. Jumping around, rejoicing because they were operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I have a couple of other scriptures that we can't get into because it's running. Except this one. Stephen and other men were asked to wait on tables, serve tables. Do you remember that in Acts chapter 6? He says, find me men of faith, full of the Spirit, to wait on the tables. And Stephen was one of them. And it says, they brought them forward and the apostles laid hands on them. And then you see Stephen doing the miracles that the apostles were doing. Why? Because there was an impartation of the anointing that was on the apostles, poured onto the, conferred or released onto the people, that they were doing what the apostles were doing. Here's yours. You want sugar in that loaf? Or you're sick, be healed in Jesus' name. We're operating. Paul says to Timothy, stir up the gift that you received when I laid hands on you. There was an impartation of the gifts that what the apostle was operating in. He says, Timothy, that's what you should be looking for in your life. Because he released the oil. Paul says to the Romans church in Romans 1:11, my newfound favorite scripture today. He says, I can't wait to go to you to impart spiritual gift to you. Paul had the authority to release spiritual gifts into the people's lives. See, Rome was a great church. It was commended for its faith, everything. But it never had an apostolic visit. And the apostolic visit released heaven on earth for them. Paul was wanting to go there because he wanted to bring what he had seen, what Stephen had seen. Let's stand. Amen. Do you desire them? You no longer want to be ignorant? Amen. Can the worship team come back? Well, let's pray for the worship team before they even come back. If our elders is here and our intercession team is here, will you come up the front? And we're going to lay hands on everybody, yeah? And what we're going to do, it's not going to be hands-on, big prayer, prophecy. I'm preparing you for everyone else. Amen? And so we'll all just come up front. There's no, you can't hang around the back. You can't resist. It's not allowed. It's not Sunday morning. You paid into a conference. You want to get everything you can get out of it. Amen? It's not Sunday morning. I don't want to go. Will everyone be looking at me? Just get over yourself. Don't be robbed. And if any of our intercession team and our prayer team, elders, location pastors, you come, but we pray for the intercession first of this team of. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus. Maybe you can get up there, share. Father, I just release in the name of Jesus, Lord God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Lord, in Sharon. I take every cap off you in Jesus' name. Go for it. Lord, I just release the gifts of the Holy Spirit in Eddie's life, Lord God. He's never operated in them before, Lord. He's never moved in them demons, Lord.
Lord, just a release, just a release, just a release, Lord. And Lord God, more would come out of this man, Lord. God, we love him, Lord. We want more, Lord, because there is more for Eddie Gregory, Lord God. Amen. For Simon, Lord God. Amen, Father God. We just release right now. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. You will not be ignorant anymore. You will move into things of the Holy Spirit, Simon. In Jesus' name. Amen. For Rob, Lord God. Father God, every area, Lord God, just, Father, just speak, Lord, just release life in him and through him, Lord God. Father God, that operations and circumstances and atmospheres be changed, Lord God, because of the gifts of the Spirit that is going to be released through Rob, Lord. I release them in the name of Jesus. Amen, Father God. And revelatory gifts for Patrice, Lord God. Just release them. Now, Lord, as she leads us in worship, she sees heaven. She speaks and sings heaven, Lord. Amen, Lord God. Lord, and Rabin, Lord God, I just thank you, Father God. Release him, Lord God. I just release you into operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit that will excite the socks off you. Lord God, bring him on that roller coaster, Lord God. Supernatural believing for something because God has spoken, Lord. I release not that one, all of them. All of them. In Jesus' name. My goodness, there's lots of you. Amen. For Doug, Lord God, just release the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Lord God. And Lord, he will not hold back, Lord. He will not live in ignorance, Lord God. He refuses. He desires them, Lord. And I release them, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. From Matthew, Lord God. Amen, Father. Amen, Lord. Amen. Revelatory gifts, Lord. Discerning of spirits, Lord God. Wisdom, Lord God. Words of knowledge. Prophecy, Lord God. Miracle, working of miracles, Lord God. Gift of faith, Lord God. I just release them in you. Release them in you. Amen. So come on. And now we just go through and we lay hands. And don't go down. Let's just stay here and worship for the next couple of minutes. Gosh, there's loads of you. Amen. So we're ready to receive, Lord. We only want what comes from you, Lord. Amen. The team all have badges on them. They. This is what we're going to do, right? We're just going to lay hands and guys, this is what you're going to pray. I release the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I believe I release manifestation of the gifts in your life. And your job is to receive them. And we just ban in the name of Jesus unbelief. And we ban the operation of wrong thinking. We just take a captive right now. False teaching, wrong teaching, misuse of gifts. We're putting that aside. We don't even live there anymore, guys. It's the word of God. It's what we only want. It's from what comes from his hand. I pour out my spirit on all flesh, all flesh. We only want what comes from your Father. And as we lay hands on, Lord, guys, this is what you're doing. You're releasing. And then what? When you get prayed, don't go down. Would you do me a favor? Would you just put your hand on the shoulder of someone beside you? Remember this. All ministry in the New Testament is for building up edification and strength. Anything other than that, keep it. That's what it says, and I'll tell you what they mean. The comfort is to come alongside. To build up is to give something that will cause that person to be more sturdier. To be strengthened is to encourage, is to put courage in. So I'd ask us, when we don't just go, that we put our hand on the person's shoulder. You're asking God now to give you the gifts. And I'd be very wrong to not give you a chance to get revelation, speak of fort, act of faith, manifestation.